Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 43. Brother Tom, it's good to see you today. Brother Tom, good to see you. He had a little scare maybe this week, and he went to the emergency room. I know probably he didn't want me to bring it up. Maybe not everybody knew, but I think a lot of you knew. I know there was a prayer chain going out, and certainly it's good to see Tom here today. And a little scare about maybe a heart attack or whatever, but everything's fine, and I'm glad you're here today, brother. And this was one of them weeks. Of course, it was good to be on vacation, but I want to just say this as opening statements to my message, that being a pastor is an on-call job. And I had my cell phone with me and didn't shut it down at all. And sometimes my kids would wonder, why do you keep, you know, that with you? You know, you should be doing this. But you know, I had some calls from some heavy hearts this week. And it's not a problem with me. It doesn't bother me one bit. Someone says, well, you know, no, it's okay. Not a big deal whatsoever. And you know, I got to do a little bit of counseling, if you will, over the phone, and just to encourage some folks along the way. And you know, it just seems like that two or three of the calls, of course, one of them, and they didn't ask for it, obviously, but I just got a text on this one, and I'm not good at texting back. You know, I got this text that, you know, pray for Brother Tom and so forth, and we were just there, so I said, okay, yeah, okay, I'll just go down. I'll see Brother Tom. Then the next day, I think it was the next day, I had a couple calls, just key calls, just people that just going through some hardships, hard time. Saw someone yesterday when we got back, just talking to someone yesterday, just having a difficult time. And one particular person said this week, I just want to be delivered from this. You know, just you know, he's kind of unloading, and that's not a problem. But I just want to be delivered from this. You know, he's mentioned different things, and just you know, was reading through the Psalms this week, and Psalm chapter 43, very short, one of the short Psalms, if you will, shortest Psalms of the book of Psalms. We're going to go ahead and stand. We're going to read responsively Psalm 43, verses 1-5. Verse 1 is really the text verse of this morning's message, but we're going to read responsively. I'll read and then you read verses 1-5. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation, O deliver me from the deceitful man and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, into thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for today, God. Thank you for your love and your goodness to us, Lord. Thank you for all that we've heard so far this morning. I pray, God, that you'll touch hearts today. I am sure that in our midst, there's some heartaches and there's some difficulties right here in our midst this morning. And I know there's some outside the walls here that are in angst, in despair, going through some things, Lord. I pray right now, dear God, that you would comfort their heart. And I pray, God, that you'd be real close to them. Pray, Holy Spirit, that your will would be done this morning. Give me clarity as I preach this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's been some debate of who actually authored this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Been suggested that David might have been the author. He wrote it perhaps when he was fleeing his son Absalom's revolt. And others seem to indicate that it may have been Hezekiah when Jerusalem was under attack from the Assyrians. Since I'm preaching, I'll tell you what I think. I think the language is that of David. That's my personal opinion. But nonetheless, I will say that the author of this psalm was going through some turmoil. The author of this psalm was going through a time of stress or a personal attack and of some inner turmoil in his life. There's three words there in the middle of verse 1. Judge me, O God. plead my cause. You can see his, you can hear his angst as he's writing this, if you will, as he's praying, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. That O seems to indicate there's some angst there, there's some despair, there's some anxiety, there's some hardship that this this psalmist is going through. His life seems to have brought him face to face with some difficult circumstances that are out of his control. Sometimes, you know what, we'll have circumstances come along our path, and sometimes there's just nothing you can do about it. We wish we could. We wish we could snap our fingers, say it's done, it's over. No, but sometimes it takes a little bit of time. It may take a few months. It may take a few weeks. It may take a few years even to get through some of these circumstances. And it seems to be that these circumstances are difficult. Seems that they are out of his control. Seems like it's brought on some pain and some confusion in his heart. And the truth is, let me just say this, we've all faced that, haven't we? We've all faced that time of turmoil, that time of hardship, and even that time of decision. Do I go on for God, or does God even know I'm here, or do I just kind of bail out? It just seems like he doesn't know where I'm at. It doesn't seem like he understands that I'm in this valley. And we're going to find that he is along this message today. But it seems like this psalmist is going through some heartaches, and we go through some heartaches one time or another. And maybe you haven't gone through a heartache yet, but hold on. You will. But I think we probably all live long enough here, doesn't matter who we are, we've gone through some sort of hardship in our life, some sort of difficult time. These are the kind of times that will define your Christianity, your spirituality. These are the kind of times that will define who we are and where we are in position with God, who we are and where we are as a child of God, times that really show our position with him. Will we let the difficult times kick us out of play, if you will, or out of his will? Will we allow that to happen? By the way, that's exactly what the devil wants, child of God. You know, he wants your circumstances. He wants your circumstances to be so hard and so difficult that you kind of get out of play and you kind of get out of whack, if you will. Say, God, I don't think you understand. I don't think anybody understands. So I will go ahead and I'll go do it on my own, if you will. These are the times when we will either confirm or deny our testimony concerning our faith in the Lord. It is evident that the psalmist here, as I mentioned before, he's a broken man, yet he clings on to his faith in God as we read at the latter part of that chapter. He clings on to it. He doesn't let go. It's almost like one that is thrown overboard into the ocean, but he clings on to that life preserver for dear life. And I can see as I'm reading this prayer of this psalmist who's in some anguish and in some hardship, he's just hanging on to God. He says, I'm not going to let go. I don't quite understand to God, but I'm going to hold on, and I'm not going to let go. This broken man listens to his prayer to God, and he cries out, God, deliver me. God, I don't understand it, but I want to be delivered from this broken heart. I want to be delivered from this illness. I want to be delivered from this. God, are you there? Deliver me, oh God. And he's crying out that way this morning. We've all been there when we just want to be delivered. I told you that one illustration. I didn't go into, it wasn't elaborate, but one illustration. And I heard him say, I just want to be delivered from this. I just want to be delivered from this pain and this turmoil and this heartache and just weeping over the phone. I just want to be delivered from it. And I don't know what to do. And I just encouraged him and I said, boy, you gotta just keep on looking to God, and you gotta cling on to God, and don't let your faith waver because of this situation. You may be here this morning, your heart's broken. You may be here this morning that someone's disappointed you. It may have been your son or your daughter. That's always hard when it's in your family circle that when a son or a daughter disappoints you or goes wayward and takes all the truths that you taught her from the Word of God or taught her from the Word of God, it's always disappointing. It's always hard. Brings you to a time of anguish and despair and weeping, if you will, when a child does that. And maybe they've disappointed you. Maybe someone has disappointed. Maybe you've lost a loved one. It may be that someone spoke wrong of you or they spoke ill of you and for no reason and it hurt you, didn't it? Man, you know what? Why? And it caused you to walk away. Why did they say that? I don't understand why they said what they said. And it hurts. And you have a tendency, your flesh has a tendency to go ahead and spew out hate to them. You ought to control that, by the way. But you want to retaliate. It just isn't fair. Why did they say that? Let me just stop and say this. You know what? I've been wronged, and we all have. It doesn't matter. You preach it. You're here today. You could preach the same illustration. We've all had things said to us that, man, why did they say that? You walk away, you may spend hours, why did they say that? Why did they say that? And all the while, if you allow it to the old devil, hey, there fell right down there, amen? But, boy, they're already coming to the altar. But anyways, but he tripped. Anyways, but just laughing, lighten up a little bit. We're in church. It's a happy place to be, amen? But anyways, where was I? But where was I? I got off on that. Oh, someone may speak ill of you, and we've all had someone say something, and it hurt. And automatically, what do? We automatically judge them and say, you know what, it's not fair. And we'll spend hours on, you know, we'll want to write out everything. We're going to say, boy, when I see that person, I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to let them, I'm going to give them all my mind. I'm going to retaliate. Oh, wait, that's not the right thing to do. You know, how often, listen to me, you know what, when I've had someone criticize or I had someone get upset or just say someone rant something randomly, you know, a lot of times, number one, it makes me feel better by just saying they didn't mean it. You know, a lot of times, listen to me, and I've been in the ministry a long time. I'm 40 years old. I just let it out, okay? I'm 40 years old, okay? No more comment after that, okay? I'm a young man, amen? All right, let's keep smiling. All right, thank you. I heard someone say amen, but my wife, thank you very much. But to be 30 again, though, huh? But anyways, you get me off my message. But you know what? It makes me feel bad. I don't think they meant it. Because let me tell you something. A lot of times when I would go back to them and not say anything, or someone would tell me, you know, so-and-so, they just lost a loved one. Something happened in their life. Their son or their daughter, as I mentioned, you know, went wayward. You know what? They were hurt, and the flesh kind of just spewed out some things. A lot of times, they don't really mean it. You know, and oftentimes, we'll go ahead and we'll sit and we'll try to justify our actions, say, well, you know what? Bless God, they shouldn't have said it. It doesn't matter, and I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. No, that's not the way to do it. You know, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. You know, it'd be good to go ahead and get to that, and it might be that this psalm, if someone, you know what, that someone might have mistreated him. You know, obviously it says here, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Obviously, maybe someone went ahead and wronged him or hurt him in some way. It might be, you're here this morning, your vehicle's barely running. It may be barely past inspection, or if it has at all. But it frustrates you, or whatever the case may be. Maybe that your finances are falling apart, and it's just brought you, something has brought you to a point of bitterness, and it's overtaken you to a point of despair. And that's all you think about. You know, you may be here this morning, but all you think about is maybe that one wrong by somebody, or that bill that you're trying to pay, or that hardship, or that heartache, or, yes, I lost my loved one. And no, that's not easy. But the truth of the matter is, you can be lifted up in your time of despair this morning. You can be encouraged out of your discouragement this morning. But maybe it's some unconfessed sin in your life. Maybe here, this psalmist, maybe there was some unconfessed sin. Maybe there's some things in his life that God is trying to poke at. Say, hey, you need to get rid of that. You need to get rid of that because it's hindering your work for me. It's hindering your walk with God. It might be unconfessed sin. You might be here, you're all knotted up this morning. That's all you're thinking about. You're choked up this morning just thinking about it. I mean, if you could, and if it wouldn't be embarrassing, you'd probably just go ahead and just weep right now. As I heard, yes. Already this week. You've got a set of circumstances that's beyond your control. Maybe you brought some of them circumstances upon yourself due to some bad choices. That happens all the time. Maybe some bad choices cause you to get to that point. But listen, it doesn't matter how they came, does it? It matters how you feel right now. You know, right now, you know what? And I'm not saying everybody, you know what? There's many different levels of people here today, and I, spirit, if you will. Some are down in the valley, and some are maybe just kind of in between, and some are on the mountaintop. Everything's going real well. It doesn't matter who you are, but right now it matters how you feel if you're in the valley. You may be feeling that this, as this psalmist feels, you may be at a point of decision in your life. Do I turn from God, or do I hang on? Hang on. Don't let your faith be rattled and be shaken in times of turmoil. It may be that God's trying to teach you something from it. It may be that he's trying to show you something from it. You just hang on. You don't want the end result of letting go. I've seen Christians, especially young people, you know, young people, godly young people, grew up in the church, but, you know, they get to a point of, you know, I can handle this myself, and they make their own choices without any wisdom or without any counsel and so forth. And we try to tell them, you don't want to go down that road because it's going to end very, very rough for you. But I'm going to do it anyways. And guess what? It ends very rough for them. You know, listen to me. You hang on. You, when you're in despair, you just keep on going on. You just keep on looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You just keep on running the race that is set before you. Don't you turn around. Okay, so you stumbled. Get up. The problem is, you know what? We quit. You know what? I'm just sick and tired of running this race. And I get maybe just a few feet and I stumble. Okay, that's all right. Get back up again. Get back up. Keep on running the race. Don't you turn back. Hey, what are we seeing from this psalmist here? Number one, we see his cry. From the very beginning, oh God, oh deliver me. The first four words, judge me, oh God, and deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. From the very beginning, we see the psalm that this man is one who is trying to get in touch with God. He knows who to run to. He didn't go ahead and say, oh, you know, forget it, God. I'm not going to go to you. No, he says, oh, God, I need you. I'm crying out to you. He knows who to run to. He knows who to go to. I find that if there's ever a reason to rejoice, boy, this just rejoices. Even when I'm in the valley, boy, it rejoices that God, you can get in touch with God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's always there for you. Boy, if it would just help your Christian life, if you just understand that simple principle that he's right there walking side by side with you every step of the way. Boy, understand that this morning. Understand that he loves you. Understand that his love is unconditional. Maybe you did blow it, okay? Go ahead, confess it and move on and grab a hold of God's hand and you let him lead and guide you. I find he's all I need to weather the old storms of life. Yeah, you'll have some storms, and some of you face some storms, and some of you will face some storms, and some of you just came out of a storm, but he'll help you weather them storms of life. What's he crying out for? He's crying out for freedom. Verse number 2, then for thou art my God. I read verse 1. They go hand in hand. For thou art my God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? This man feels like he's trapped by his circumstances, and he's crying out for freedom. He's just so trapped, and he says, I can't, you know, my finances just got me all balled up, or my illness has me all balled up, or my addiction. I used to work with addicts and the reformers, the unanimous, and they'd be wrapped up by smoking and drugs and different things like that, and it's all balled up. I'm thinking of a lady, dear lady, by the way, when I was working, kind of, this was probably, she was the one that got me into the Reformers Unanimous back in Maine when I had the ministry there at Calvary Baptist Church when I was working under Steve Christner. And lady here, she was just addicted to prescription medication. Her name was Charlene. I know her heart was right. I knew her heart was where, you know, it was right. I know she wanted it, but boy, how often, you know, she'd call me and she'd be weeping and she'd be crying and she'd say, Pastor, I'm going to kill you. She was at a point of suicide. She was suicidal. Pastor, I'm going to go ahead and kill myself. And boy, there have been time and time, a few different times that I'd walk into her apartment there, just a dingy little apartment down there in the streets of Lewiston, Maine. She's all by herself. We'd bring her to church on the adult bus, and we nurtured her. We did everything she could. She knew that there was freedom. She knew how to get it, but her flesh, she was just so addicted. She was just so wrapped up by it. Remember one particular time, and she had, and by the way, she had several cuts up her arms because of many failed attempts of suicide. And you know how often I heard her say, I want to be free from this. She knew her problem. She admitted her problem. One time I just went in and she had the knife already there. Pastor, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I said, Charlene, you know, I told her, I said, you don't want this. You don't want this. You don't want the end of this. We can get you help. And we did everything we could to get her help. And we sent her down to the roll-off homes. And she almost made it, but she quit. I don't know where she is today. But the truth of the matter is, she knew who she could go to. By the way, Christian, you know what? There's a lot of people out there crying. It may not be addiction. It may be, not be whatever the case may be. But you know what? We ought to be we ought to have that ministry of being a rock, a solid rock, so to speak, for these that are hurting. You know what? We have a tendency to have that Pharisaical attitude. Well, you know what? You know why you're there. You know why you have no finances. You are in living in sin. How do you know? And why would you say that? Well, why would you say that? He who is without sin cast first stone. Why would we go ahead and judge somebody that way? You know what? You know what? And by us being that way, you know what? You know what we're doing? We are pushing them farther and farther and farther away from truth. Why is it that they would want the God that you serve with that kind of attitude? I know people. I was working with Reformers Unanimous and working with the inner city bus adults, if you will, and different things like that. People would say, Pastor, why would you go ahead and work? You know, why? You know, and hope. I said, because you know what? Jesus died for them too. You know, and they're not bad people. They're just broken people. And all they need is someone to put their arms around them and love them and to go ahead and encourage them and say, hey, you know what? You can get out of this. Let me show you how to get out. The truth will make you free, the Bible says in John 8:32. It'll make you free. And we try to go ahead and feed them the truth of the Word of God. And boy, you know, I thank God through the years I saw some of these addicts come out of quitting smoking and different things like that. Boy, that was a joy. Praise the Lord. We'd hoot and holler, even those that were still wrapped up in it. You could see slow but sure they were coming out of it. Why? Because of truth. They knew that they had a pastor that cared for them. They knew that there was a church there, centered in Turner, Maine, that cared for them. They knew that they could call and say, Pastor, I'm having trouble with this. I'm having trouble with this. And they could pray over the phone and so forth. Hey, what I'm trying to say, they needed deliverance. And you ought to thank God this morning. You've been delivered too. If you're saved this morning, you've been delivered from sin and from hell. Why? Because someone cared for you too, Jesus Christ. But you know what? You see, he's crying out for freedom. He's crying out for freedom. His circumstances had him all wrapped up. There have been times I've been cornered by my circumstances. But I'm thankful to God that he's a liberator of all my woes. I'm thankful that I can call on him each and every day. But we have a tendency, you know what? We get discouraged after about so many woes or hardships in our life. We get discouraged. We get tripped up and say, I'm done. This just isn't fair. We go to the world, and we go to the world's psychologists and all of this and that, and I know maybe there's time for that, but you know what? Let me tell you something. This book has a whole lot of answers to our problems. Truth Matters has all the answers. We just need to get in it. We just need to get around it. We need to get around the preaching of it. We need to go ahead and soak it in and allow it to be part of our life. He wanted to be freed from the slander of men. You know, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. It seems that he was being attacked by someone. He'd been wronged. Perhaps he had been talked about. He'd been hurt by some words, and he pleads for God to get involved. You know, let me just say this. You know, my mama used to say, if you can't say anything nice at all, don't say anything. It's not a bad, really not a bad philosophy to live by, is it? You know, but we want to be judgmental. This, yeah. You know. Let me tell you something. You know who that hurts the most? It always hurts the critic the most. It does. Ends up biting them the most. Don't be that one that just kind of wags your tongue for no reason. The Bible says, you know, our tongue's as a fire. Fire in the book of James, it destroys. You know, I would hate to think, and I try to be very careful. You know, I love to have a good time. Illustration here. I love to have a good time. You know, you hang around me enough, I can joke around and have fun and so forth, but you know what? There have been times that my joking around had went too far in some people's lives. I had a very good friend of mine, dear friend of mine, my best friend in college. He was from Maine. People like it when the preacher confesses. I'm confessing, but I hope it'll help you. But he was in college. He went to Bible college with me. He was much older than I was. He was probably 20 years older than I, but we were just knitted our hearts together. We were just very, very close. He was from Maine. About the time I graduated, he moved back to Maine. Got involved in the church back in Maine. He was from our home church anyhow, different things, but it wasn't until college that we got to be real close. We used to joke around. I mean, just back and forth, joke around all the time. And I noticed that, man, he missed 2 weeks. He never missed church very much, but he missed a couple weeks of church. And I couldn't get a hold of him. Hey, man, I couldn't get a hold of him. Finally, I said, okay, I'm going to go to his wife. Something's up. His wife went ahead and told me, he says, Brother Sean, and people in my church, in our church back there, I was an assistant pastor, called me Brother Sean. She says, "Brother Sean, you know what? You said some things to Jerry, just it went overboard and just hurt him. I apologize. I went to him. I found him out in the woods. He loved to go fishing. I knew where I could find him. And we just had a good time together. I said, you know, I apologize. You know what? You know what? It's okay to say I'm sorry if you know you did something." "Well, I'm not going to put..." "Why not?" "Well, I didn't do anything." "Well, so what? Why don't you be the Christian? Go ahead and try to be a good Christian brother or sister. Let's try to fix it. You know, I wasn't going to go ahead and let division, let a wall build up because of my foolishness. I knew I was wrong. I said, hey, man, sorry. Forgive me." Had some tears. We both had some tears. "Yes, sir." Sometimes that's all it takes. But anyways, you know what? We got to be careful of our tongue. You know, a careless tongue can determine how far somebody may go for God. You know, you take someone and, you know, they're growing in grace and the knowledge, and you maybe you're a little more mature, but you maybe said something or whatever, and you're careless with your tongue and so forth, and before you know it, maybe that baby Christian got offended by something or whatever the case may be, and they didn't show up to church. What happened to so-and-so? You know, if you're not careful, our tongue, you've got to be very careful, our tongue can go ahead and be offensive, obviously, and it can go ahead and destroy, and it may go ahead and very well determine how far someone goes on for God. By the way, we'll answer to that. I believe we'll answer to that. You know why? Because of our foolish tongue, we couldn't go ahead and control it, and we could have. We didn't always have to say whatever it is that's on our mind. "Oh, that's just the way I am. Whatever comes to my mind, I just say it." Well, you ought to think a little bit about that before you allow that to be a part of your life. Because the truth of the matter is, it can hurt somebody. I've seen tongues hurt marriages. You know, I can't say enough, man, you are the king of that home. Boy, you ought to speak kind, loving words to that gal of yours. She ought to be the queen. I can't say it enough. But it's okay. You ought to speak well of her. You ought to lift her up with your tongue instead of, "Well, you know, when's supper going to be? You know, I worked hard all day long. It should be on supper on the table at 5:00. Why would you want to do that, especially your little children seeing all that? You know, there was a day, you'd go ahead and you'd come home and, boy, you couldn't wait. I mean, you'd almost go over the speed limit to, "I'm going home to see my honey." You know, you remember them days. "I'm going home to see my honey? I don't care whether supper's on. I want to just give her a big smooch." For 20 years into it, though, what happened? Do you not still love her with the love that you had for her when you first met her? Boy, another one's coming down, amen? But do you not? But once you know what? The marriage relationship is likened to a spiritual child of God. We are the bride of Christ. One day he's coming for us. Boy, our marriage ought to be a good Christian marriage where we speak well of each other and talking to each other. You ought to be building your marriage. You ought to have a strong marriage 20-some-odd years into it. Yeah, you're going to have your battles, you're going to have your fights, but no battle ought to be such that you go ahead and just hang around your buddies and say, "Well, the old lady back home." Don't say that about your wife. Come on now. "Well, my old man." No, don't say that about your husband. Man, you know, go back to them youthful days and remember how precious he or she was to you in them days. And you know what? Let that keep your heart tender toward her, and him. Thank God that he goes and works for, makes a living to put food on the table, ma'am. Thank God that she's at home taking care of your children, sir. You know, listen to me. You know, I have 4 children. Some days, I'm kind of glad personally that I went off to a job. Come on, it's all right. You know what I'm talking about, sir. Don't leave me hanging here. You know what I'm talking about. And your wife, you may have 1, 2, it doesn't matter how many children it is. Sometimes, you know, you can start having hair like I am right now. Just kind of. I babysat my kids especially when, you know, don't get me wrong, but I wonder, man, my wife is a miracle worker. Seriously. How in the world does she do it? It's a wonder that when I was a younger man, my hair didn't start falling out then. Now, and I know I'm being funny. I know I'm putting some humor in it, but the truth of the matter is, you know, she's at home nurturing your kids, the kids that God gave you. Well, you ought to say, man, I can't wait. Say to your buddies at work, I can't wait. I'm going to go home and see the love of my life. I refer to my wife often as a love of my life. You know, you can have that kind of marriage, but sir, you know what? You ought to be taking the lead in that marriage. You be the one. You be the one that just cares for her. She's your darling anyways, but you know what? I'm talking about the tongue here a minute. We don't like that. You know what? Your marriage doesn't have to be like World War III. You know what? There can be a calmness. And by the way, you know what? Before you start spouting off and saying whatever you think, that's just the way I am. At home, that's just the way I am. Bless God, it's just going to be that way. You know, think about that. Your kids are seeing all that. Your children are seeing that. You know, is it any wonder why today, you know, in this new millennium that we live, is it any wonder why marriage is mocked at? And it is. Wonderful institution that God created, a beautiful institution that God created. And is it any wonder why it's mocked at today? Is it any wonder why our kids, as they grow up, we grew up in a Christian home, and boy, you know, we were in church every Sunday, and boy, we played the part, but you know what, you go home, and boy, you know, it's like World War III. And I don't misunderstand, I know there's sibling rivalry, I know that there can be little tiffs and so forth, but you ought not go to bed mad. You ought not go to bed with your spouse mad. You ought not go to bed with your children mad. Boy, you know what, if you had a little tiff, you ought to do everything you can to go ahead and smooth it out and get the right spirit back in the center of that home again. I know you say, preacher, this is a little tough. No, I'm trying to help your marriage, and I'm trying to help you understand this thing right here. If it doesn't control, it can hurt, and it can destroy, and it can determine how far someone may go in their Christian life. You know, I said, you know what, a marriage is kind of a mockery today. Hollywood's made it that way, but you know what? Maybe some of it's simply because of our Christian homes. We can't control our actions, and we can't control our tongue, and it's like a war zone in our home. Is it anyone? It may stem right from us, amen? It may. We don't want to shoulder that responsibility, but it could very well stem from us, and as a result, the whole world, you know, your kids don't want anything to do with a marriage like yours, because that's all they think about. Well, if I date a girl or a boy, you know, they talk about being clean and pure, this and that. Why do I want that? My mom and dad, this. They can't even get along. And we wonder why, down the road, our children go wayward. We wonder why, down the road, they don't want anything to do with marriage, so they go the world's philosophy and try it out. We wonder why. So I'm trying to say, you know what? I'm trying to salvage a few homes this morning. I don't know what it's like in your home. I don't go there, you know. I know some of you think, oh, the preacher's got his notepad out and he always, whatever. The Holy Spirit does a very good job on that. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me. I'm trying to salvage some homes this morning. I'm trying to salvage some Christian lives this morning. Be careful of this thing right here. You see this psalmist right here crying out. He's crying out for freedom. Someone's heard him. And maybe someone's heard him with their words. Hey, let's move on. Then we see the silence of God. The prayer, the psalmist also indicates to be free from the silence of God. It seems like that God was quiet. Verse number 2. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? Sometimes we would have to admit that in the trials of life, it seems like that God seems unconcerned about the situation at times, doesn't it? You know, you pray, and it just feels like they just bounce off from heaven, and God, are you there? You know, and it seems like that this psalmist was wanting to be broken from this silence. And God, please hear me. Oh, God, please deliver me from this. Oh, God, I'm going through this turmoil. I'm going through this heartache. God, do you even understand what I'm going through? Do you even understand? Do you even care about the situation? Do you know how I feel? You know what I'm going through? God, listen, just in case you don't know where I am, I'm right here, God. And there seemed to be a silence. And he longed to hear that voice, that Holy Spirit voice, that still small voice, if you will, from God. And he longed for God to go ahead and do something and to strengthen him. He wanted to be delivered from this woe or this heartache, from the unjust men, from this ungodly nation. He wanted to be delivered from it. Sometimes we pray and it seems like nothing happens. We cry out and we feel like maybe he's not listening and there's no answer to be heard, and the suffering just remains the same. The pain just remains the same. I'm reminded of David when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. I don't have a whole lot of time to get into it, but there was a 2 years period of silence where there was just no communication with God. David, a man after God's own heart. Can't help but think that probably during them 2 years, of course, it's a time of repentance. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of him getting on his knees and saying, "Oh God, you know, I killed a man, boy. You know this, that sin, how it just went downward. I mean, went from committing adultery to murder. I mean, it just, boy, sin just ballooned." By the way, that's what it'll do with you if it's left unattended. But you know what? It seems like there was a period of 2 years, and I think maybe during that time, that's where the Psalms 32 and Psalms 51, they were psalms of repentance, if you will, that David penned, came from. And he so longed to have his spirit restored, and he so longed to created me, Psalm 51:10, created me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. He knew his spirit wasn't right. He felt like, man, he was so far away from God, and I'm alone, and God, clean up my heart. God, I'm so sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry that I did this. God, please clean up my heart. I can't stand this loneliness. I can't stand this silence. And maybe that's how you feel this morning. You know, maybe there's sin in your life that silenced you between you and God. That sweet fellowship that you once had isn't quite there anymore. And it might be that you got to get on your knees again. It might be that you got to fall on your face again. And, oh God, forgive me, cleanse me of whatever it is. What is it, that sin that so easily has beset you, that sin that's kind of pulled you off from wayward, that sin that's kind of taken you away from God? Why don't you come to the point of admission, saying, oh God, forgive me, and run to the very one who can forgive you and renew that relationship. Boy, the psalmist desperately wanted the Lord to respond in some way about the situation, but it seems that he remained silent. But it also is an understanding here that God doesn't always work on our timetable. You know, we kind of live in this society. I want it now. Fast food society. You know, have it your way. Want it now. Go through the drive-thru. If you're not through that drive-thru in 1 minute, boy, you know what? It's not good, is it? Fast food. You want to go through that little booth there. I thought this was fast food. I'm sorry. I'm a Christian. Sorry about that. Can I have my burger? No. Listen to me. But you know, we want it now, don't we? You know, God doesn't always work on our timetable. Sometimes, you know what? He may and probably is working behind the scenes very slowly, taking his time. Maybe that trial, that burden, maybe being wronged or whatever, there's some reasons there, and he's trying to teach you some things. You know, I've said it 100 times behind this pulpit. I'll say 100 times more. You know, you shouldn't ever squander a burden. It may be that he's trying to teach you something from that trial, from that burden. Maybe that he's trying to make your burden a blessing, if you will. But you shouldn't ever squander a burden. You know, it may be, you know, I know, and as sure as I say this, whatever you're going through, you can count on someone in your life, someone in your circle of life, if you will be going through it somewhere down the road. And it may be that God is teaching you how to handle it so that when they go through it, you say, you know what, I've been there. Let me help you through it. You know what? It may be that you can make that burden a ministry and a blessing to somebody else. You know what? God doesn't always work on our timetable. We have to be patient, don't we? The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." You know, he says, you know, I know where you are. I know what's going on in your life. Now listen to me. Listen. You be patient. We don't like that. I am the least patient man in the world. I mean, I want things, you know, get it done now. I'm not a man, you know, I don't care for change. I mean, if it's positive change, if it's spiritual growth and that kind of change, yes. Church growth and say soul saved and whatever, I like that kind of change. But you know, I'm very slow to change. I don't like to just, you know, man, I'm kind of, let's keep things right. You know, I just don't. Sometimes I have to, you know, and when and by the way, change is inevitable. It is. You know what, just when you think you're, man, maybe you've been riding high on the mountain for some time, then all of a sudden that curveball of, the devil throws a curveball, and before you know it, yesterday you're here, and the next moment you're there. Change. It's inevitable. But how do you respond to it? Well, this just isn't fair. God, this isn't fair. How do you respond to it? Now listen to me, listen. You know, it might be no matter what you're going through, and this is what I told this guy the other day. You know what? You may have been crying out to God, and I know you're crying out to God. You've been crying and you've been weeping, and you said, you know, I've been crying, I've been asking God to deliver me from this. I just want to be delivered from this. But I said, you know what? So I shared him this scripture verse, Isaiah 50. You know what? Our thoughts aren't God's. I said, you know what? I promise you, you just hold on. You just keep on getting up in the morning and you get dressed and you get ready to go to work and you do what you're supposed to do each and every day. Let me tell you something. God will show you the answer. God will go ahead and listen to me. You may be going through the trial. You may not totally understand. You may not quite figure it out. But God understands this morning. He knows right where you are. He knows right where you are. Be patient. He wants to be freed from the sorrow of heart. He had no joy. He had no peace, if you will. No doubt, we all want to be delivered from that sorrow now. God, I want to be eased now. God, give me joy now. God, I want to be happy again. I can't take this sickness. I can't take this situation. I can't take this circumstance. God, I just want to be happy now. He wants to be delivered from that sorrow. We do the same thing. We hurt so bad. Instead of crying out, oh, deliver me, we say, you know what? God, you go ahead and you sick that person. You go ahead. Hey, and God, in case you don't know where they are, there they are. No. We do that, don't we? Yeah, we do that. We want to be delivered from it, from that situation, whatever it is, and it's hurt you, and you're sick maybe, you're not well, and you're fine. It doesn't matter what it is, but you say, God, do you even know I'm here? God, deliver me. I want to be happy. I want to be joy overjoyed again. I've got to keep moving. Don't let it rob your joy. You know the truth. You know who determines whether we get up happy this morning? You do. You do. You know, you don't have to. Listen to me. And I understand. Let me walk around for just a minute. I'm going to be through in a minute. I knew this was going to be long, but listen. It's the black mic. You know who determines whether we're happy this morning or not? You do. You know, we don't have to go around being a grump. Oh, yeah. How you doing? Fine. You don't have to do that. You know, listen, and I sympathize, and others will sympathize with your heartache. We will understand. By the way, we here at Faith Baptist Church, we ought to understand and be careful of how we treat people, and we ought to be offering a helping hand. Amen to that. That's how we ought to be at Faith Baptist. Amen. But the truth is, you choose whether you want to be happy or not. You know, go home and you slam everything, you know. It's not fair. Slam the doors. Throw everything around. Throw the pots and pans around, whatever the case may be, and you get angry and you're upset. You know, you don't have to be that way. Well, you don't understand. My heart is heavy. I know that. I understand that. My friend, God well understands it too. And you don't have to go around just grumping. You know what? This guy here, he wanted to be delivered from whatever it is, and he wanted his joy back. But you know, listen to me. You can have that joy this morning. You know, it may be that we don't have that joy simply because we've not been willing for a long time to let go of whatever that burden is. I said it last week. I know I did. You know, when God, I don't quite think you understand the hugeness, if you will, the magnificence of this burden. Yeah, he does. Don't you think the very God that breathed this world into existence can take care of your burden? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what? You know what? If you're here and you're weighted down this morning, you want to know one good way, sure way to have joy when you walk out of this building today? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Maybe you've got that heavy burden. Here's my burden, Lord. Right here at the invitation, at the altar. God, I can't handle it by myself, but there it is. And they just walk away. No, you still may be carrying that burden. But you know what? You put it into the right hands. You're not dealing with it by yourself anymore. The Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Come unto me, all ye that are weary, heavy laden. I will give you rest. Then you see his prayer for leadership in verse number 3. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill, into thy tabernacles. You see his cry for leadership. This psalmist was found broken in despair, and he asked the Lord to lead him out of where he is and take him to where he should be. You know what? That might be just what some of us need to do today. Let me ask you a question. Are you in the center of God's will today? The happiest place that you can be, the most happy place in your life, is right smack dab in the center of God's will. But it might be your burdens, or whatever the case may be, have taken you away from. And you see this broken psalmist saying, God, I want your leadership back in my life. God, bring me back to where I should be. Boy, you know what? We all ought to pray that. Every single day, you know what? Boy, with all the devices of the world and everything that's out there, you know what? It seems like there's so many opportunities, and the devil gives these opportunities that'll go ahead and veer us off from being what God wants us to be. And as a result, that might be one reason why we're broken and we're in despair and we're heartache, because we've wandered far away from God. It might be good this morning that God, you know what? I'm giving you total control again. He should have had it from the first place, but Holy Spirit, you take control. My life is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul, the song says. Hey, listen, allow him to. You know, how do we get that leadership? From the Word of God. The Bible says right here, send out thy light and thy truth. Light and truth refer to our references to the Bible. He wants to hear the voice of God telling him what to do. And when you need a leadership and direction, you should look no further than this book right here. We have. You know what? There's nothing that I hold in my hand that is perfect. This isn't perfect. This falls apart all the time on me. It does. But guess what? This is perfect King James Bible right here. We have it. We've got it right here in our hands. We can get up every single day. We can read it. We can count on it. We can get our joy from it. We can understand how to live. We can know how to pay our bills from the teaching of this book. We can know how to go soul winning. We can know how to live for God right here from this book. And you know what? It might be good. It might be that we need a revival of God's people today saying, hey, you know, God, I know I've wandered away. God, you lead me. You guide me. And you know what? One place I'm going to find that leadership is right here, under the preaching of the Word of God, under my personal Bible study and my walk with God. God, you lead my life. You take me. Thy word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. Yeah, you might be walking through a dark tunnel right now, but you know what? Sure enough, you open up this word, you make it a part of your life each and every day. You know what? Let me tell you something. It'll give you light in your dark path. It'll give you light. He desires God's way. Kind of mentioned that. Kind of goes hand in hand there. Let the trial bring you to the place where God wants you to be. Let the trial, I'll take this one back a minute here. Get you back in place where you want. You see that the psalmist, God, your way is going to be my way. I'll follow you. I have decided to follow Jesus. If we don't mean it, don't sing it. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. What's the next part? What's the next part? Choir? No turning back. You know what that says? That says, God, my life is yours to control. God, I'm going to learn about your ways. I'm going to get back into the book so it can lead me and guide me. I'm going to get into the preaching of in the direction, the teaching of the Word of God. I'm going to walk with you again each and every day. I'm going to bend my knee in prayer every day. I'm going to go ahead and walk with you, and I'm going to go ahead and allow your ways to be my ways. As a result of that, you know what? You're going to allow him. You extend your hand to him, and he'll lead you and guide you. And you know what? When he leads and guides, you'll never go wrong. Amen. God's not going to go ahead and push you into danger. He says he'll never give you more than you can handle. You know, he'll take care of you. Boy, you can trust him. Then we see, and I'm through with this, we see the believer's commitment. We see this man's commitment. His commitment was to offer sacrifices. In verse number nine, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. You know what? He vows that he will make his way to the altar and offer a sacrifice. In other words, he'll do whatever it takes to get his heart in tune with God. Whatever it is. Sometimes it may be just a heartache or that despair, whatever it is, sin, you know, obviously gets us out of tune with God. And this man here, he vows a vow and says, you know what, I'll make my way to an altar and I'll confess my sin. And you know what, he doesn't go ahead and say, he's not going to point out, well, you know what, it's them, God, it's them. You know, it might be that he's saying at that altar, God, what do you need to do to me? We have a tendency to, well, God, you sick them. You do. No. Why don't we do this when we come? God, what do you need to do in my life? What sin is hindering my life? What is it that's hindering my life? You know what? It might be that we need to revert all of our selfishness and get back to the main cause here, which is him and where he wants you to go. Okay, God, whatever it is, at the altar, whatever it is, God, forgive me. Whatever it is, I'm yours. You want true freedom? That's true freedom. Each and every day, get up. Submit your life to God each and every day. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's not too much to ask. After all, God, he held nothing back for you, did he? He gave his only begotten son. But we kind of hold back, put the reins on. No. You see this guy's commitment. You know, it might be, and I'm through with that. I had one more point, but I'm through with that. You know what? It might be that we need to recommit again this morning. That's a tough word, too, in the Christian life. Commit? Yeah. Commit? Yeah. I'll say it again because I just want to make sure it gets right. Commit? Yeah. Yeah, commit. Well, you know, let me just stop. You know, serving God's the greatest life. It is. Those of you, you know, who showed up this morning, you got to and serve God. Wasn't it awesome? Amen. You know, you got to teach that class. You didn't have to. I got to teach that class. I got to drive a bus this morning. Yeah. Old Yeller. And it made it. Man, I was just rejoicing that I made it back with Old Yeller from Wareham today. Praise the Lord. But we had 10 kids or something on that bus. Amen. I got to do that. Oh, I have to get up and preach to my people on Sunday morning. I get to, man. And guess what? You get to come here, amen? Okay, moving right along from that one. But listen to me, commit. Why don't you commit to him? God, maybe it might be some reasons why we've wandered far away is simply because we've not committed to reading his word every day. We've not committed to prayer. We've not committed to our church attendance. We've not committed to whatever it is that God wants us to do. You know, maybe you're here and you've got a heavy burden, Christian. You can bring it to the Lord and he'll help ease that burden. He may not take it away just like that, but you be patient with him. But maybe here today, you're bearing a very heavy burden. That burden could be that you don't know 100% sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. You know, you can know. You don't have to sit here, my friend, this morning saying, well, I think I'm going to heaven. You know, the Bible says, God says, you can know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have a home in heaven. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. You can know it. You don't have to sit here, well, I guess. No, you can know it. But there's some things you need to know. You've got to, first of all, understand you're a sinner. Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, across the pages. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Doesn't matter who we are today in this building, we've all sinned. because of that, we've broken God's law, and we have come short of the glory of God, and so we got to understand we're a sinner. Number two, there's a price on sin, and the Bible says, God's word says, that price is hell. We don't like that, but that's what the scripture says. The Bible says for the wages, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That word death there is paralleled with the second death over there in Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. The Bible teaches if I died in my sin without Jesus, then hell, eternal fire and brimstone, being separated from, probably the worst part of it, is being separated from a loving God forever. But hell would be my eternal destiny. But guess what? That's the bad news. But you know what the good news is? Jesus paid that price. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever means anybody, you and me, shall not perish, have everlasting life. And all you have to do, you've got to realize you're a sinner, realize there's a price on sin. That price is hell. But Jesus, because he loved you, he died on that cross, shed every drop of his blood. He died, he was buried, he rose again. And all you have to do, you need to believe that in your heart. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all you have to do is simply trust him by faith, and he'll come in and save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? If you're here today, you don't know Christ as Savior, you can walk out of them doors with a no-soul Christianity. You can walk out with a spring in your step, and someone asks you, do you know for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Yes. Why? Because someone showed up at my doorstep and showed me from the Bible how I could be saved. Or I walked down an aisle and at a church, an old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist church, and someone showed me from the precious Word of God how I could know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Let me tell you something. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as Savior, why don't you go ahead and settle that today? And know it. And know that, boy, if you breathe the last breath, and we don't know when our last breath will be, but breathe your last breath, that you'd be with forever in heaven with Jesus Christ, the one who died for you. Probably that's the biggest burden you carry. You know what? Maybe you say, well, I got this financial. No, no, no. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you know, the biggest burden that, my friend, that you're carrying is the fact that you don't know 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. Let me tell you something, boy, when I went ahead and went to Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary, boy, you know what? I asked Jesus in my heart, boy, I walked away with a spring in my step. Yes, yes, I know for sure. And you can know it. You're here today, Christian, and you got a burden. You just need to cry out, God, deliver me. Maybe you need to come to an altar, God, deliver me. It's a heavy burden. I can't take it. No, you can't take it. But you and him ought to go ahead and partner together and say, we're going to take it together. We're going to go forward. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. God, wonderful truth, I think, in this message right here. I pray, dear God, that we'd apply it to our lives. I pray, God, that right now, that maybe every heartache, every Christian, every child of God, they know for sure they're on their way to heaven, but man, there might be someone in this room that's just going through it. I didn't say much about it. Maybe they're dealing with a past. They just can't get over it. Man, they need to come and just let go and let God. I pray, dear God, maybe if it's finance, whatever the weight is, I pray, dear God, that they acknowledge you, realize they can run to you. And may they leave here knowing that you're bearing that burden with them and they're not doing it by themselves. Maybe there is someone here under the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus as personal Savior. Yeah, the truth is, that's the biggest burden they're carrying. And you know what? They can leave with that burden lifted off their shoulders if they'd come and trust you as personal Savior. It's not a Baptist way. It's not a Catholic way. It's not any denomination's way. It's your way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Pray, God, you'd bless this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here today. You say, preacher, save them. I'm on my way to heaven. But I needed that message this morning. I needed some encouragement. Here's my hand. I won't embarrass you in any way, shape, or form, but here's my hand. Would you please pray for me? There you go. Anybody else? Anybody else? Several hands across the room. You may put your hands down. Maybe you're here today. You say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I'm going to be honest. I will not call you again by name. I will not embarrass you. But you say, preacher, boy, the Holy Spirit's tugging on my heart. I'm uneasy. My heart is uneasy right now. I don't know 100% sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. But would you please pray with me about that matter? Here's my hand. Anybody at all, you be honest enough with the preacher. Again, I won't embarrass you. I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I want to know today. Anybody at all, our heads are bowed. Dear Jesus, I pray, God, you'd bless this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart this morning, maybe you need to just come talk to God for a little while. Take all the time that you need to at the old-fashioned altar and do business and partner up with God again, Christian. Maybe you just kind of wandered far away. I don't know, but maybe you just need to reunite with your God again, or whatever the case may be. If God has spoken to you, if you raised your hand, or if you didn't raise your hand, you indeed need to do business. The music's going to play right now. All to Jesus, I surrender. That's it. All to him I freely give. That's it. We'll take all the time we need. If you need to move, maybe you didn't raise your hand a while ago, but you know there's some business, something in your heart. Maybe it's that unconfessed sin. Nobody knows about it, but you do. You know what it is. You know what that weight is. Won't you go ahead and step out and do this? God, we love you. We thank you for today, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the preaching of your word, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd be with the hearts that came forward. You know the decisions that were made today. I pray they'd be sealed. Pray hearts would be comforted, Lord. I pray, God, that we'd be mindful of your strength. It's always available to us. You're always available to us every single moment of the day. Pray, Lord, that you'd just be with the hearts, be with our VBS this week, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd bless it. Pray souls will be saved, lives will be changed as a result of the effort put in forth. Now, God, bless us as we go our separate ways. Bring us back safely for our evening service tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.